If you look in Revelation, if you want to turn there, okay, well, let's turn there, our first passage. Revelation 5, verse 10. Bible says that Christ, by his sacrifice, he made us the king and priest to our God. And let's just look shortly at this passage, and we're just going to move on. Revelation 5 and verse 10. It talks about the work of Christ and what he did for us. Revelation 5:10, and has made unto God, our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Bible says that we as a Christian, and Christ made us the kings and priests. Did you know that both king and the priest had the crown when they serve? It's obvious for us, everybody, that the king's supposed to have a crown. But did you know that in the Old Testament, the priest, they had this golden tablet on their head, which actually also called a crown. And it was inscripted. It says, dedicated to the Lord, or the holy to the Lord. So both the king and the priest had a crown. And who's the king or priest right now? It's the Christian. And so I want to present before you the five different type of crown. And how can you obtain it? The first passage, if we want to look, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's going to be the first type of crown. And it's very interesting. I just want to study with you this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read the verses 24 till 27. Now, I'm going to give you a second. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. And Paul is speaking to the church of Corinthians. And he says, know ye not that they which run in race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beating the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. And we're going to talk about these verses, but look at verse 25, the very end. It says, now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. One of the crowns that Christians are going to receive in heaven for the special effort to live a Christian life, it's called the incorruptible crown. And I want to talk about this a little bit. Now look what Paul is saying. He presents the race, right? And he says, everybody runs in the race, but he says, not everybody receives the crown. So he gives a thought, look, if you want to receive this crown, you gotta go extra measure. You gotta do certain things, and it's not gonna be very easy. And you gotta like strive very hard. He says, look at verse 24. So run that ye may obtain. Let me ask you a question just shortly. How many of you guys like running? Honestly, is there anyone among you that you like or you used to like running? Anyone? Oh, I see a couple hands. Okay, good. I love running. Back at Northland, we used to have this, they call the 5-mile loop. It's a beautiful place there. I just can run out there, you know, run for 1 hour or something. I love to run. But let me tell you one thing that I found out in running. You can run for the run's sake. Kind of, you know, like you don't hurry anywhere. It's kind of no one is checking on you. You have no timing at all. You kind of run for the run and enjoyment. But there's a different running. When you know there's someone is timing you and when you know you're racing, would you say there's a difference? You know, you have a goal. I have a time. I want to be first and I want to run really fast. But other times you're kind of like, well, no one actually cares. I don't care, so I'm just going to go and enjoy myself. Look what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, don't run as anything doesn't matter. He says, run so that you may obtain. He says, there are a lot of runners in the race, but only one received the word. Be that one. And he says, put the extra effort to it. Look in verse 25. It says that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do to obtain the corruptible crown, but one incorruptible. This one also thing that, you know, in the Grecian games, when they used to run or when they used to compete in different types, you know, at the very end of a game, they used to receive not a medal as in the Olympics today, but they used to receive the crown. And usually that crown was made out of the olive tree or out of like some kind of a tree. And they put it in the head. And for the couple of days, it could be really nice. But what happened to the tree after like a month or something? It withers away. I mean, the leaves just falls down. And Paul is saying, look, these guys even in Corinth, you guys know that they run and they can win the crown. But after some time, the crown is going to wither away. But when you run for God, He's going to give you incorruptible crown. It basically is going to stay forever. It's not going to wither away. It's going to stay. He says, so go and do this. And how can you obtain the crown? That's the key. How can I and you today, how can we obtain this crown? Look what he says again in 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, he restrained and he exercised and he basically focused on certain thing. Let me give you an example. And again, like, let's take the athlete. Let's take the Olympic Games, even like the Soccer Cup today. If you want to play in a Soccer World Cup, right, can you say, okay, well, I'm going to just get ready 5 minutes a day before the match, kind of training a little bit. I'm going to drink a lot of pop and just kind of like not even going workout. I mean, would that work? If you want to be athlete, you got to be focused on one thing. You got to be dedicated to one thing. You got to say no to a lot of things. And Paul's saying, look, if you want to win this crown, you got to say no to a lot of things. You got to be dedicated to the specific focus. Because what he says in 26, he says, I therefore run, not as uncertain, and fight, not as beating the air. But he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Paul's saying, look, our bodies, in natural desire of our bodies, it's not to do good. It's not to do godliness. You know, like our natural desire, it's to do wrong. It's to do bad because the sin lives in our body. But Paul's saying, look, you can't do all things that you want to do. Paul's saying there's a certain things in you living. It's the Holy Spirit. And you have to live according to the Scripture. And in order to do that, you have to buffer your body. You have to beat your body. And you have to train your body, which is going to be really, really hard. It's very interesting. And again, as a runner, you know, in verse 26, he says, I run, not as though uncertain. Those of you who said that you guys like running, did you ever get to run, but you don't know how far you have to run? Let's say you run, let's say, almost for half an hour. You're really tired, you're really thirsty, your legs are, you're tired. And you have a thought, okay, well, how much do I have to run? Is it 5 more minutes? Maybe it's two more hours, you know? It's really killing. And Paul's saying, when you run, you have a specific goal in mind. That's the price. I'm going for that price. The price is incorruptible crown. And therefore, I know where I'm going. I'm not just living my life for no reason. You know, if there's no reason, then why do you do this? If there's no reason today, then why do you come to church? I mean, I believe in reason. I believe that God wants us to have the church to worship Him, you know? If I wouldn't believe in that, I would not come today here, you know? If I don't believe God answers prayer, why do I pray? It's like very logical. Paul is saying, look, you have a goal in mind. Therefore, you run with that goal. And look what he says in a different part of a verse. He says, so I fight, not as the one beating the air. Did you ever see the boxer who tries to get ready for the fight? And he's kind of like, you know, like punching the air. And that's all what he does. I mean, will he be a good boxer? Let's say he wants to meet like some good champion and he's going to train for the boxing. So he says, okay, I'm going to get an idea. I'm going to just punch the air right here and I'm going to train like this. I mean, when the day of boxing will come, you think he's going to win? I mean, he's going to be beat up like really bad. And Paul's saying, look, when I train my body, I don't beat the air. I don't run just without any purpose. I got to focus on mine. And my mind is to train my body so that it will be under subjection. All what Paul is saying here, incorruptible crown, the special reward for the Christian, it promised only to those that are going to keep their bodies under submission, that they're going to strain their bodies and going to like keep them not to do whatever I want or whatever my body wants, but whatever God wants. And it's just like being done with this part. But let me ask you a question. When you live a Christian life, how do you live your Christian life? Do you allow your bodies and your flesh, you know, to do whatever it wants? We can't allow this because our flesh is sinful. Our flesh, there's a sin living in our flesh, you know, and it draws us away from the Lord. I cannot allow my body to do whatever I want. And Paul's saying, look, I'm beating my body. I'm restraining it. I'm getting ready for this race. I'm running for the prize. My prize is the victory. It's incorruptible crown. When God will going to give me this crown, it will not going to corrupt. I'm going to have it. So the first type, what Paul is saying, one of those crowns that we're going to receive in heaven, if we're going to keep our body under subjection, it is an incorruptible crown. But I want to go to another one. Look with me. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to see another crown here that Paul's going to be talking about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Philippians 4:1. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong book. I'm in Ephesians. I'm like reading this in Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand firm in the Lord. Look what it says. It says, my longed for, my joy and my crown. When Paul is talking to the Philippians, he calls them their joy and his crown. There's another type of crown that the Bible speaks about, and Paul is also talking about. There's a crown of joy. And I don't know maybe like so much of wise of a joy, but how can you obtain this crown of joy? And Paul is saying, look, when he's talking to the Philippians, he's referring to these people as they, like them being the crown of joy. Who are the Philippians? Paul is saying that they were the ones that Paul came and he preached the gospel to, and they got saved. And later, Paul ministered in the city of Philippi, and they grew in the Lord. So basically, the crown of joy, or the joyful crown, is given to those people, to those Christians, that either they win souls to Christ, or they grow, or they help to grow Christian. You see, there are some people, like even in your life, and you have to agree, there's some Christians that come alongside, and they help you to grow in the Lord. Like, even with me, you know, when I looked back in the days, I just didn't grow by myself. You know, when I heard the gospel, there was someone, and I know Pastor Thomas was one of them, but basically Christian come alongside of you and say, look, let me encourage you in the Lord. Let me teach you something, you know. Sometimes it's conviction too, you know. People say, look, the things that you do, it's not right. Or they encourage you, say, look, you should do these things. And Paul was exactly the same man to the Philippians. He was growing them in the Lord. When Paul was saying, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but Lord gives the increase. Well, this guy Apollos, he helped the water. He helped something to grow. Let me ask you a question. Is there any person in your life that you are helping to grow as a Christian? Is there anyone that you're mentoring? You see, this crown of joy is promised not to anybody else, but to those Christians that actually are active in the ministry and helping someone else to grow. And you know, I will not receive this crown if I'm not mentoring anyone. You know, and for me, it's like, is there any person in my life that I'm trying to come alongside? Maybe younger Christian. And believe me, you know, we have in our church younger Christians, and even me, and even those people that in the youth group, just coming alongside and saying, look, let me encourage you in the Lord. Let me teach you something that the Lord taught me through life. The same crown of joy, I think it talks about the same crown, but look in the 1 Thessalonians. It says that it refers to this as a crown of rejoicing right now. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in a verse, I think, 19. And again, Paul is writing the same words, but this time he's writing to the church of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in a verse 19. It says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ of his coming? Now, Paul used to talk, remember we read in Philippians that they were crown of joy. Now he calls the crown of rejoicing, which I believe is pretty much the same. But he's calling the Philippians that they are crown of rejoicing when? When Christ will appear, when Christ will going to come back. Why are they crown of rejoicing? You know, Paul was the one man that actually was used of God to grow the Philippian church, Thessalonian, right here in this place. Paul was the one that preached the gospel. And there is a thought, actually, that crown of rejoicing or crown of joy will going to be given to those that preach the gospel, that win souls. And actually, I was reading the commentaries. It's often called the soul winner's crown. And again, application is very clear for us. Christian, are we doing actually the soul winning? you know, is there anyone that we actually preach the gospel and people got saved? The truth is, you know, I cannot make anyone saved. That's the Lord. That's the work of God. But do I preach the gospel? And you know, Bible promised when I preach the gospel, His word does not come back void. It does not come back just empty. The word of God, it accomplishes it. But do I do this? And you know, if I don't preach the gospel, if I don't share the message of Jesus Christ, how can people get saved? And honestly, if we don't do that, at the day of judgment there, when Christ will going to give us reward, this crowd will be missing from our reward. You know, it promised not to everybody again. I'm just going to tell you, these crowds, they're special crowds, and they're promised only to those people that are going to put extra effort. And in this matter, it's a crown of joy. It's only for those that are going to share the gospel, that are going to win souls. Paul was one of those. And Paul said, look, I gave my life for the gospel. I live for it. Do we do that? I mean, if I don't do this, I'm not going to get that crown. So the crown of rejoicing, it promised to the soul winners, to the ones that helped the Christian to grow in their faith. Let me move on to the different one. It's going to be crown of righteousness, and we find it in the 2 Timothy. And look with me in the 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and started reading at verse, I think, 6. So I'm in the 1 Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And Paul is saying, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And look, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all men, but unto all that loved His appearing. Paul is saying there's a special crown also laid for special people. It's a crown of righteousness. And how can we obtain the crown of righteousness? It says, Paul is speaking about himself, and he's talking in the verse 6 that his death, his time of departing is really close. And he said in verse 7 that I fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Now, let me not to confuse you, because some people will say, well, this righteousness, it's not the righteousness that imputed unto me at the time of my salvation. You see, there's certain righteousness. Bible says when I believed in Jesus Christ, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed, is counted unto my account because of His death, because of faith. But that talks not about this righteousness, because that kind of righteousness, it's called the positional righteousness, it's never given as a reward. It's always given as a gift. Do you know that salvation, it's never as a reward? You don't have to work for salvation. It's always as a gift. And therefore, righteousness of Jesus Christ is always given as a gift. But when Paul is talking here in verse 8, henceforth for me it's laid up, the crown of righteousness, and the Lord, the righteous, will give me. Actually, the word give, it talks about reward or something to be earned. So this righteousness, it's something to be earned. Now, I want to talk to you, how can you earn this righteousness? And Paul is saying, look in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul is giving us three illustrations. He's giving us illustration of a soldier who is fighting the fight. And he is fighting very faithfully. He's fighting to the very end. He does not retreat back. But there's certain rules that you have to fight the fight. He says, also, I have run my course. He ran the course to the very end. He did not give up. And again, if you run the course, you got to run according to the rules. And also, he talked about the garden. He says, I have kept the faith. The righteousness that Paul is talking right here, it's a practical righteousness. It's the righteousness that we live every day. And you're going to say, okay, well, what's the righteousness? The righteousness is living according to the word of God. That's the righteous God gives you righteous rule right here. And not so much even according to the law of Moses, but according to the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Well, Bible says, even look open to Matthew chapter 5. Love your brethren, you know, forgive your enemies even. It's everything that Christ commanded to us in the Bible. You know, very simple things, not even lying or cheating, that's a righteousness. When we go about our Christian life, and when we go into the world, when we live, you know, very simple things that the world watches us. can they say about us that, okay, this person, this man or woman, they're a righteous person? You know, when they look at our lives, can they say, okay, I know him. I know he's not going to lie. And I know if I'm gonna hire him, he's not going to steal from my job. That's the righteousness. The very interesting thing, you know, when the people can look at us, sometimes they can see righteousness, sometimes not. And very often, we as a Christian, even we like to put on a mask. Sometimes, you know, when people watch us, we try to live a righteous life. And when no one is watching us, we live a different life. It happens sometimes. But you know, even that, Paul is saying, you're not going to receive crown of righteousness from people, but from the Lord. You know, to live a righteous life, it's not so much before the people, but from God, because God can see everything. And it's much more high in standard. Because when you live a righteous life before God, I mean, is there anything that you can hide from God? Is there any situation that God cannot see? I don't think so. You see, God is the one that's going to reward you with this crown. And to walk righteously before God, it's way out, different level. You see, I'm just trying to stretch a thought that Christian life, it's not an easy thing. It's not this kind of run that, you know, you kind of run, you know, and kind of like really easy. Paul's saying, look, there's a race before you. You got to put all effort. You got to put extra effort in putting all your strength into that. And to obtain the crown of righteousness, the special crown, it's promised to only to those people that's going to live a righteous life. It's very interesting talk. Let me just, we have a couple more minutes. But look what he says in verse 8 too. He says that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Look at the next phrase. And not to me only, but unto all them also that loved his appearing. The crown of righteousness promised not only to those that live a righteous life, but also to those that love his appearing. You know, I start thinking, how do you, Paul, connect those thoughts, live righteously and love his appearing? And actually, you know what I found? Those two ideas, they're very connected. If you live in expectation of Christ to come back every day, guess what? You're going to live a righteous life. Isn't that so? I want to illustrate this to you. Matthew 24. Jesus gives this illustration, and it's very interesting for me. Matthew 24, turn there, and we're going to read a couple of verses. Starting verse 46. And we're talking about the idea of expecting Christ to come back, influencing our life. Matthew 24, verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But that if he that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayed his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Maybe next verse he says there's a punishment. But look what the Bible is saying, and Christ is saying, there's a certain servant that lives out, and his master is not in the house. His master is away. And the servant is not expecting for his master to come back. And therefore what? His life is impacted. What is he doing? He's drinking. He's beating his friends, you know. His life is impacted. But there's another servant that waits for his master to come back. And guess what? His life is impacted too. And therefore, why Paul is saying in the verse that not only to me, but unto all those that love his appearing. Christian, if you live every day expecting for Jesus Christ to come back, your life will going to be affected by this. And your life will going to be affected by righteousness. It's going to be marked by righteousness. You know, okay, today I'm going to give you a very simple example. What if today you for sure, Christ is coming back today before our picnic. I'm sorry, Mr. Greg. You're going to have hamburgers in heaven. But what if the Lord were going to come back today, really, really, and you would knew for a month that he will? Would that affect your life? I mean, it would affect my life. There's certain temptation. I would say, no, for sure, because I'm going to meet my God in a month, in a week. You see, the crown of righteousness, it's promised to those people that are waiting for the Lord. They're expecting every minute, and that expectation, it affects their life. It's not to everybody. It's not to every Christian. but it's only for those Christians that live a righteous life. Okay, let's move on. We have I think the last crown, the crown of glory. And now I'm sorry, we have two more crowns. Oh, we're gonna have hurry really fast. Okay, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'm gonna run really fast through these. This is the crown of life. James chapter 1, and verses, well, we need to read the verse 2 and 4. James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into the diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I'll skip to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Bible speaks of a crown of life. And to whom it's promised, it's only to those that go through temptation and trials and actually persevere or go through it, that they're faithful. The crown of the life, it's not so much of eternal life, because eternal life is promised to us by the faith in Jesus Christ. Again, the crown of life that Bible talks right here is to people that are going to go through the trials. And being honest, you know, Christians, it's not a secret that all of us are going to go through the trials. Like, I don't have a time, but three times in the Bible, Christ himself, he promises that, look, in the world, you will have a tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Paul is promising that all those who try to live godly for Christ Jesus in this life, they will have persecutions. But what Bible is saying, those Christians that are going to go through persecution and they will be victorious, that those Christians are going to go through the trials and they will be victorious, only those that are going to receive the crown of life. You know, all of us are going to go through the trials, but not all of us are going to come victoriously through that. And therefore, Paul is saying, look, Christians, look, people, when you go to trials, have a goal in your mind that on the other side, there's a crown of life waiting for you. And for me, it's interesting. You know, I never studied to this, but look, just right now, the God opened to me. When Bible speaks in verse 12, the very end, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. You know, when I face the temptation, the very last thing that I think it's about the love of God. You know, Satan just takes it away. But what if you think about the love of God? What did Christ say? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments, right? If I love God, when temptation comes, I remember his commandments. And because I love him, I will going to keep them. Therefore, the crown of life is promised only to those that are going to go through the trials, going to endure them, they're going to be victorious. We're not going to turn there, but Read me in Revelation is the same crown of life. It says, fear none, when he speaks about the church, to the church, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in the prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And listen to this, be thou faithful even until death, and I will give you the crown of life. When Christ is talking to one of the churches, I don't remember which one, he says, Satan will going to try you, and even some of you are going to be killed, but be faithful, and I'm going to give you the crown of life. Often this crown is referred to the crown of martyr. You know, when people actually being killed for the sake of Christ. So this special crown of life, which is promised to those that go to temptation, even until death, but they persevere and they win. All right? Let's look at the very last crown and we're going to be done. The crown of glory. It's the 1 Peter chapter 5. It's going to be really fast. It does not affect all of us. It's going to affect only a couple of people. 1 Peter chapter 5, and starting in the verse 1, Peter is talking, there, the elder which among you I exhort, whom I also, an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also the partaker of the glory shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not of the filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a special crown promised to the pastors. It talks to the shepherds. But again, like, I want to, and even though you're not a shepherd, but it's very, very also interesting that not to every shepherd is promised, but only to those that do righteous job in feeding the flock. Do you know that not every pastor is going to receive the crown of glory? Not everybody. You know, there's a lot of pastors, like on the TV, you see, they're not doing the right job. I mean, they're just making money for themselves. They're becoming famous, yes. They're making money, yes. But they're not doing the righteous job. And when chief shepherd shall appear, they will not receive the crown of glory. All of those people, right here, Bible says, you know, they're going to be example. They're not ruling as the masters, but being a servant to their flock. All of those people are going to receive the crown of glory. I know we rushed really fast and my time is coming down, but a concluding thought. You know, Christian, again, I just want to make a point that we as a Christian, I think to a certain level, all of us are going to receive a reward. And again, it's going to be different, but those crowns that we're talking today about, they're promised not to every Christian. They're promised to the very special people that are going to put an extra effort. They're going to go an extra mile to win that crown. They're going to buffer their body. They're going to suffer a lot of persecution and temptation, but they're going to be victorious. Only to those Christians, this crown is promised. Some people believe that in heaven, I'm going to wear this crown and I'm going to walk in front of everybody. I'm going to boast about this. You know, I don't know for sure what's going to happen with those crowns, but we have an example, and we don't have a time to go there today. But there's 24 elders before the throne. And guess what they're doing? They're worshiping God. Every time when they hear the hymn of angels singing, holy, 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 the God of Almighty, guess what they're doing? They're bowing down, and they take their crowns that are on their heads, and they throw before the throne. I think we're going to do the same things, you know? The crowns that I earn, you know, it's not for me. I believe when I'm going to stand before God, I said, look, this crown is because I love you, God. And this crown is a proof that, God, you saved my life. And because I love you, I lay down at your feet. You know, all my life, it's impacted by your love. And I want to give it back to you. I don't think I'm going to just wear this crown on my head and going to walk around the heaven, you know, kind of boasting, well, I have a 2 or 3 crowns and you don't have any. I mean, I don't think it's the goal of all. I think it's all to the glory of God. I don't know, we just run like really fast. I thought we were going to have more time, but that's those 5 crowns, you know. I hope we're striving for those, and I hope we're living for those. And ultimately, also, it's all for the glory of God. It's not for me. I mean, all right, let's pray, and we're going to be done.